I'm good. All right. I pray if my notes fly away down there, somebody catch it and finish the message for me. All right. You know, it's like a trade-off. It's either humidity or wind. I'll take the wind a little bit than the humidity. But all right, Jeremiah chapter 22. Matt Califano, you hear me? All right.
Yeah, we're good.
And Jesus, you hear me? Okay. All right. All right. Now everybody knows who's here. All right, so now, if you're a parent, and even if you're not a parent, you know how important it is for your children to listen to you. You'll learn. They may make mistakes. They will make mistakes. I see Irene saying amen back there. They will make mistakes. But if they listen to you and they have a heart to listen to you, there's hope when you have to pass judgment. And in Jeremiah chapter 22, we see that the Lord wanted his people to give him a hearing. He just wanted them to listen to him. But their hearts were too hard. Jeremiah 22 verse 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of the house kings, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. If you do what I say, guys, it is going to be well with you," God says. And in verse 5, he says, "But if ye will not hear these words, I swear by myself." That's God saying, that's pretty adamant. "Saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation." Look at verse 21, same chapter. God says again, "I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. This hath been thy manner from thy youth, that thou obeyest not my voice." Wow. And then, in verse 29, you see the Lord's final plea right there. "O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord." And apparently the king didn't listen, because the king he's addressing that to, Coniah, Jeconiah, Jehoiachin, he's called different things. He's cut off, and God says, "I'm done with your kingdom, it's over." But they go to chapter 37. Nebuchadnezzar puts another king in power that God did not recognize. His name was Zedekiah. And it says in Jeremiah 37 verse 1, "And King Zedekiah the son of Josiah reigned instead of Coniah the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah." King Zedekiah wouldn't hear God's words either. And you would think that he had learned the lesson. He'd just seen Jehoiachin deposed by God, carried away, Babylon coming down with a smackdown. You would think he'd want to listen to what God said, but he didn't listen either. But in verse number 16, he tries to get a little peek. It says in 16, "When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Same message. He didn't dip the colors for the king. But then look what happens in verse chapter 39. "In the midst of troubles, Zedekiah secretly wants to know what God said." He wants to like hedge his bets. By the way, what does the Bible say? But apparently King Zedekiah was hard of hearing too. and he lost everything. He lost everything. Look at chapter 39, verse 2. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even, and you pronounce these names however you want, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar, Nebo, Sar-Sekim, sounds Italian, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all, Rabmag, he sounds like a superhero, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And here it is. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't want to hear, and he lost everything. So my question to you and my challenge to you this morning is this. Are you hard of hearing? Some of you are going, huh? No. Are you hard of hearing spiritually? Have you gone so far without listening to the Lord that you no longer hear His voice and you don't even want to know what He said? What are you prepared to lose, like Zedekiah, if you allow a sin to make you hard of hearing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your power. We thank you for this little space, Lord. I pray you just keep the distractions at bay, Lord, that your word will be able to go out with power, without interruption. May, Lord, your saints be able to hear and be fed if they're watching online or they're sitting here with us today. Lord, I pray your church will be strengthened. And if anyone's lost, Father, give us ears to hear. Let us do business with you today, Lord, and not wait another day to hear what you have to say to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay right there in Jeremiah 39. Look at verse number 6. I got four quick things. I'll try to make them quick. Four things to say to you about what happens when you're hard of hearing before God. First one is right there in verse 6. If you're hard of hearing towards the Lord, you will lose your fruit. You will lose your fruit. Look at verse 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. The first judgment levied against Zedekiah was that his children were slain right before his face. Horrible, horrible. Now the Bible says in Psalm 127, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So Zedekiah's sons, his children, represent the spiritual fruit that we bring forth in our lives. That's what they represent. Now go to Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Galatians 5:22. Can I tell you that if you refuse to hear what God says, if you refuse to hear the words of His Holy Spirit, guess what? You will lose the Spirit's fruit right before your very eyes. It'll happen right in front of you. Some of you could say a bitter amen to that. I can. You turn away from God, you stop hearing God's counsel, and you watch the fruit that God was bearing in your life shrivel up and die. Just like it happened to Zedekiah in type. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And man, if you refuse to hear what God says, that's the fruit that you'll watch dissipate and shrivel up and be taken away from your life. Amen. Think about love. You stop hearing what God says, you will start loving the wrong things. You'll develop the wrong affections. You'll lose your love for God in a heartbeat. And when you do that, you'll lose your love for your neighbor. Joy. Man, you lose that fast. There is no one more miserable than a Christian out of fellowship with God. I know. 1999, I stepped away from church for just a few months. It was the worst decision I ever made. I was more miserable doing that than when I was lost. It was worse. Peace. Hey, you want the peace of God? Stop kicking against the pricks about what he's telling you. Then you'll have peace when you declare a ceasefire in your heart. How about long-suffering? That patience with people, that bearing people's mistakes. Can I tell you, you stop hearing what God said and see how short your fuse gets with other people. See how testy you get. See how quick you are to explode when you stop listening to what God says. Gentleness. How can you heed the instructions to handle with care if you won't hear his words? Because God wants us to be gentle with people, right? His gentleness hath made us great. He says, you know, be gentle unto all men. I beseech you by the gentleness and the meekness of Christ. But you'll never be gentle when you're not listening to God. If you're not fellowshipping with the Christ who is gentle, you're not going to be gentle. You're going to be brash and angry and rude and vile. The next fruit or part of the fruit is goodness. And don't say amen. But oh, the evil things you are capable of when you stop hearing what God says. You will shock yourself what you can do when you stop listening to this book and you close your Bible and you close your heart to God. It is horrifying. I speak from experience. Meekness is your strength under control. And brothers, if you don't see God's boundaries and you don't respect God's boundaries, you know what's going to happen? You are going to lose control. You're not going to be able to control yourself. And the last one is temperance. That's your passions under check. And how can you moderate your passions when you loosen the restraints on your lusts? Because sin will keep you from this Bible, or this Bible will keep you from sin. And when you close your heart to what God says, all hell can break loose, man. All hell can break loose. Appetites and desires can rise up that you thought you had at bay and leave you in a place where you don't even recognize the person you see in the mirror anymore. And like Zedekiah lost his sons, you will lose that fruit before your very eyes. I'm warning you in love. You will see for yourself. I hope you never do. Look at John chapter 15. It's a sobering message. I'm not sorry, but if it's the last message I get to preach to you, I want it to be as straight and as clear and as plain, and warn you from the bottom of my heart, keep listening to what God said. Keep hanging on every word. And in John chapter 15, look what Jesus says. John 15, look at verse number 4. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches, the same bringeth forth much, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. Folks, don't stray from the Lord. Your fellowship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing on this side of heaven, the most important thing. More important than gospel tracts, more important than offerings, more important than anything is your fellowship with Jesus Christ, because you'll never hear the still small voice of God if you are staying away from Jesus Christ. You'll never hear his voice if you're far from the Savior. And in verse 7, same chapter, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Brethren, don't you want to bring forth as much fruit as possible for the Lord? Can I get an amen on that one? I mean, after all he's done for us, don't you want to do your very best? I mean, maybe it's because I'm Italian, you get that Italian guilt, I don't know. But isn't it embarrassing enough? I mean, Italians, we can't go to somebody's house without bringing something, right? I mean, that's why Vinny brought donuts, right? I mean, it's hard to kind of, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard enough, isn't it embarrassing enough when somebody gives you a Christmas gift and you didn't know you were exchanging and you don't have anything to give them in return? That's like, social faux pas. You feel like, let me go find that box of Whitman samplers that my students gave me that I didn't open and wrap it really fast because I got to do some quick re-gifting, right? But think about it. The Lord gave us eternal life. I don't be sitting there like, well, I got nothing to give to you, God. I got no gift, no fruit to bear for you, God. How long am I willing? How long are you willing to remain hard of hearing? Are we going to stay so stubborn, so obstinate that we have no crowns to cast at his feet in that great and glorious day? I'd like to have something to throw back at the Savior to say thank you for all he's done for me. Amen? Let's go back to Jeremiah. Keep something in Jeremiah 39. If you're hard of hearing towards the Lord, you will lose your fruit. Jeremiah 39, let me show you the next one. If you're hard of hearing, Jeremiah 39, verse 7 will be. You might want to stick something there, Jeremiah 39. I'm going to go back and forth to that. If you're hard of hearing, when it comes to this book, you will lose your vision. You will lose your vision if you get hard of hearing toward the Lord. Look at verse 7. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. Right after Nebuchadnezzar slew Zedekiah's sons, he put out his eyes. There was a loss of vision there. Vision is your ability to see. It's probably the one sense that people prize the most. Think about it. Of all the senses you have, if you had to lose one, most people say they'd rather not lose their eyesight. They don't want to lose their vision. And when I was 8 years old, which is a long time. Thank you, honey. Thank you, dear. All right. Just 34 years ago. All right. 34 years ago. When I was 8 years old, my left eye was injured irreparably by a thorn bush. And I am legally blind in my left eye. That's why you'll see me. I'll always be squinting because I have no iris in that eye. And I squint all the time in the sun because I have nothing to keep the sun out. So I can speak very personally. I know the fear of being blind. I've had many surgeries. I've seen countless doctors. You think it's annoying to sit in that eye doctor chair with your chin forward and your head forward? I've been in more of those chairs than you've had birthdays. I've been all over the city. I've been worn patches. My mom thought it'd be funny for my nickname when I was 8 years old to be Patch. And that was, you know, her way of endearment. I've done all these things, every drop, you know, a few years ago into a doctor. My wife's sitting there asking the doctor, can he get an eye transplant? You know, and I'm sitting there almost throwing up. And the doctor's like, no, 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 we can't do that, no. But anyway, all these things I've been told and I've been done, I've had done to me to try to save my vision. Because it's precious, right? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. You know, God gave us a book and God gave us instructions on how to safeguard our vision. So we don't lose the thing that's most precious to us. So we keep our bearings and we know where we're going in life and hereafter. Whereby, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, brethren, the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving, God says, don't stay there. Don't stay just being saved. Here's 7 steps to grow. Ready? And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound,
they make you, they'll do it through you, that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would just follow the instructions of our great physician, you know what? Our vision will be good and our fruit will be abounding. But verse 9, if you remain hard of hearing, you will lose your vision. It's right there. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You can make you forget. You lose your vision when you stop listening. Can you imagine not being able to see physically? I had to live with that specter over my life, but can you think about that right now? Not being able to see physically, right? No more sunsets, no more faces, no more scriptures to look upon. I wonder, do you care at all about losing your vision spiritually? No more direction, no more purpose, no more wisdom. That's what we can lose when we stop listening. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Look at Proverbs 29, look at verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. You know this verse. I've quoted it a lot, but you need to see it again. Right? We need to actually see it again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You don't see right? You fall off a ditch, off a cliff, man. You don't see right? You stumble around in the dark. You get hurt. Are you willing to perish? I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. You'll never go to hell if you're saved. But your walk can perish if you stop listening. Your family can perish when you stop listening. Your friends, the people around you can perish. Are you willing to risk that because you don't want to hear the advice and the counsel of the one who hung the stars also? Don't be stupid, right? That just wouldn't be smart, all right? You know, listen to what God said. You know, there's a Greek tragedy called Oedipus Rex. I've had to read it. Freud really enjoyed it. And in Oedipus Rex, that's where we get the Oedipal complex from. In Oedipus Rex, Oedipus, the king, is warned by this prophet, Tiresias, but the king doesn't believe his prophecy. And near the end of the play, when all those prophecies eventually come true and all those warnings come to fruition in Oedipus's life, you know what Oedipus does? He puts out his eyes. And they call this play a tragedy. In fact, historians and ancient Greeks and philosophers today, they say that Oedipus Rex is the classic model for a tragedy. It's the story of a man who wouldn't heed the prophecies given to him, and he wound up ruining himself and taking away his own vision. And in front of your lap right now is a book of prophecies, predictions, warnings, not from a guy Tiresias, but from God himself. Can you hear the prophecies of this book? Can you hear the warnings? It would really be a tragedy if you destroy your own vision, if you actually take your own vision away by refusing to heed what God says. Let's look at John chapter 9. I didn't expect a lot of amens, but it's the truth. Almost lost the message there. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. You know, in John chapter 9, I'm going to read another verse before I read that verse. In Zechariah chapter 7, you know what God said of his people? Horrible thing he said about his people. Hope he doesn't say it about any of us, especially you at home. All right. He says of his people, they refuse to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Moms and dads are probably saying, amen. Ever tried talking to a child who doesn't want to hear and you go to put your hand on their shoulder and they turn away the shoulder and they stop their ears because they don't want to hear? You know what God is doing through the preaching of his word? He's reaching out his hand. He's reaching out his voice. You know what we do sometimes? Israel did it. We turn away our shoulder and we stop our ears and we say, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to hear that. That's what we do to God. We do it all the time.
I wonder, are we like that with the Lord? I don't want to be like that with God Almighty. If he's gracious enough to speak to me, I want to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, in John chapter 9, Jesus Christ has just healed a blind man from birth. And everybody sees the blind man healed. But the Pharisees, the ones who should have known better, are just turning away their shoulder and stopping their ear. John 9, 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. See, the problem is, God is just looking for someone who'll give him a hearing. Someone who'll be honest with him. But we don't want it. We think we're okay. Be honest with God this morning. Are you listening to him? Be honest with him. He knows the truth. Go back to Jeremiah. Let me give you two more quick ones. Jeremiah 39. How are we doing? We all right? All right. Thank you for hanging in there, guys. Jeremiah 39. You guys got some spiritual backbone, I'll tell you that. I drive around, and you see all these churches. They seem happy to stay closed. I mean, I'm not saying every church, but a lot of churches I've been speaking to, happy to stay closed. You know, nobody wants to push the envelope. Nobody wants to gather. I don't get it. I mean, I understand the precautions, but I mean, if I had a parking lot, if I had a building, forget about it. I'd have the barbecue going. I'd be throwing hot dogs in people's windows, and we'd be having like a ball. I'm telling you, man. I got the barbecue right there. Don't tempt me. But I mean, you guys are a blessing because, and even you folks at home too, just staying with it, tuning in. I mean, just keep it on, keep it on. Sensibly, reasonably. But the Lord is coming. I want to make sure I'm hanging on his words.
Amen.
And look at Jeremiah 39. I think it's like statistically impossible to catch the virus outside. I saw something like wild, like 0.0001%. And it doesn't live in, I mean, we've got sunshine and wind. It's just as long as we're not swapping spit with each other, I think we're okay here. All right, so don't get any ideas, anybody. All right, Jeremiah 39, couples, you know, married couples excluded. Jeremiah 39, here's another one. If you're hard of hearing, when the Lord Almighty speaks to you, let me give you one more, you will lose your liberty. If you're hard of hearing, when the Lord Almighty speaks to you, you will lose your liberty. Jeremiah 39:7, it says, moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Think about how horrible this is. After losing his children and losing his vision, Zedekiah is carried captive into Babylon. Ugh, a man who was a king. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just a few stops left. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, look at verse 17. This is a Bible truth and a Bible principle. One we're seeing come to fruition before our very eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see that? Now, the world may say that we're slaves. The world may say that we're robots. The world may say that we're just automatons. But the truth of God in this book has made us free. I am free today. You are really free today. David said in Psalm 119, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. This book you hold in your hands frees you to live right. It's not freedom to do sin, it's freedom from sin. The Bible calls it in James 1:22, the perfect law of liberty. Now, that seems like a paradox, right? Because there's parameters, but those parameters actually give you liberty. Parents know that with children. A child that doesn't know boundaries is an upset child. A child who is anxious, a child who doesn't know where the line is. When a parent sets down a clear line, a lovingly firm line, you know what that gives their child? Freedom. It gives them peace. It gives them rest because they know where the boundaries are. They know where it's safe and they know where it's not safe. And Jesus Christ said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you," not set you, but make you free. You weren't this good little person waiting for God to just open the cage. God had to transform you. He had to make you free. Are you saved? D.L. Moody said, "If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are free. And if you're saved, brothers and sisters, you are free." Now, let's take a step back for a second. Politically, I'm not going to get political, but politically, if any of the pundits had half a brain, the further a nation gets from the Bible, the less liberty its people have. I don't have to be a brain surgeon to know that. All right? Think about North Korea. That's not a very free country. Think about places like Iran. That's not exactly a free country. Ladies, I don't think any of you want a vacation over there. Even China. Right? You know, to quote it the way it's great, right? Even places like China, where there are human, I'm probably going to get bounced off YouTube for that. Even places where there are, that's where the human rights violations abound. That's where people aren't free. And even our own God bless America. You think 50 years ago, 100 years ago, when this Bible had more preeminence, do you think people were more or less free then? Come on, you know the answer to that. Of course. The government overreach and the tyranny that we see and the kind of clamping down on, you can't even breathe now without it being regulated. What is that? That's just the byproduct of people getting further and further away from the one who gives us liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The founders of our nation knew that. And you have to know that. That's my political diatribe, but let's get personal. Personally, the further you stray from God, the more you're brought into bondage again. That's just the truth, man. That's just the fact. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And I hate to say, we hate to say how true that is, but some of us have been around. We know how true that is. We know how true that is. The more you stray from God, you think it's going to give you freedom, and it just brings you more and more into bondage. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 18. It's speaking of false teachers, false prophets. And there's always wrong voices out there, brethren. And wrong voices, you know what they do? They promise you freedom, but they take away your liberty. It's right here. 2:18, 2 Peter 2:18. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error." They're trying to get you back in their pig pen. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Sad, sad verse right there. In other words, the opposite will be true, right? When you listen to the Lord, you know what you get? You get His power to live above the cesspool of the world. Isn't that a blessing? I am so grateful to Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that habits and things, I didn't have to try, I didn't have to strive, I didn't have to go through a program. The closer I drew nigh, the more time I spent in this book, words dropped out of my vocabulary, habits dropped out of my behavior. Oh, sure, they can rear up their ugly head again, but that's me stepping back into them. It's not the norm anymore, thank God. Amen? Has God given you any victory? Has He given you any blessing? Any rising above? Yeah, He wants you to rise above the cesspool. A.W. Tozer said, "God wills that we be free as birds to soar and to sing our Maker's praise without anxiety." God wants to put you high, man, above this cursed earth. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Three stops left. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 24. The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." He says, pastors, teachers, preach to the people that oppose themselves. In other words, if you're hard of hearing towards the Lord, you're only hurting yourself. You're opposing yourself. You're frustrating yourself. You're keeping yourself from where God wants you to be. That's what it says right there. And in verse 26, he goes on to say, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." In other words, if you stop your ears to the Lord, you'll fall right into the devil's snare. You'll fall right into his trap. There's a great message I heard years ago. I watched it from time to time by a great preacher that's taught me a lot. He's in heaven now. It's called "Sin is Like a Serpent." And he does this chalk talk where he draws a man and this boa constrictor, this serpent, just sliding around him. And he talks about how it might have felt almost pleasant to feel that thing circle around him, those scales, that cool skin against his skin. But then it begins to squeeze. And you breathe a little bit, and it squeezes. And you breathe a little bit, and it squeezes. And it seizes upon you. And as you're gasping for air, it seizes upon you. And as you struggle for liberty, because you've allowed it to encircle you, it cracks your ribs, and you are gasping, and you're finished. Sin is like a serpent. And you give the enemy an inch, and he'll take the ruler. You mark my words. And there's a verse that man preached that message out of. Proverbs 5:22 says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." You think you've got it under control, and pretty soon those sins have got you wrapped up like a serpent, and it's taken you where it wants you to go and where you don't want to be anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. And Isaiah 64:6 says, "Our iniquities," not just his, "our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." They take us where we don't want to be. They take us back into bondage. For Zedekiah, it was back into Babylon, that cage of every foul spirit. And for us, it's back into bondage, back where we don't want to be, back where we were escaped from. Don't go there, folks. Heed my warnings, heed God's warnings. And finally, Jeremiah 39, one last time, all right? And then we'll do a couple of stops and be done here. Jeremiah 39, I want to show you the last thing. If you're hard of hearing, you lose your fruit, you lose your vision, you lose your liberty. And here's the last one, maybe the scariest one of all. Jeremiah 39:8. "And the Chaldeans burned the king's house." If sin has made you so hard that you will not hear what God is saying to you, you could lose everything. Everything. Let me say that again. Everything. That in the Greek means everything. Okay? Right there you see it. On top of all the judgments, the king's house was burned to the ground. And if you remain, and I remain, hard of hearing, you risk watching your Christian life. I'm not talking about before you were saved. You risk watching your Christian life go up in smoke at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Sobering, but it's coming. He's coming, and that's what's coming right behind him. The judgment seat of Christ. Not to see if you're going to get into heaven. Your gift of eternal life is sure and fixed and irrevocable. But your reward, your eternal inheritance of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that's conditional upon what you've done since you've been saved. And you've started building something since you've been saved. It's like you started building a house. And when judgment comes, will it burn to the ground when Jesus Christ looks upon it? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, the Bible says, For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man, if I could point my finger at every one of you, and you two at home, and myself first, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. If this book is the blueprint, are you taking heed to how you build since you've been saved? Because, hey, my construction guys in here will know, when you ignore the blueprint, the building usually fails the test. It fails the inspection. It might even collapse on you. Look at verse 11. Here's the test. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build, you building, brethren? You building? You're trying to build? Amen? I hope you're trying to build. Now if any, you're all building. You understand that, right? You're all building. Some of you are building well, and some of you are not building well. Not about building a church, not about building a ministry, not even about building a family. Building your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is numero uno. That's what he's talking about here. Are you building that walk? Is Christ being formed in you? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Amen? If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Your works after salvation will be tried by the fire of Jesus Christ's inspecting eyes. How could your building survive that test up there if you've been hard of hearing down here? If you haven't been taking heed to the blueprint, how's it ever going to pass the test? Last verse, Luke chapter 6. Didn't say I was done, just last verse. Luke 6. Sun's coming onto the deck now, so I think the deck people are getting a little respite here. Luke chapter 6. Verse 46. Look what Jesus says here. Luke 6, 46. And why call... This is a tough verse. Man, the Savior, you think preaching gets tough? This is the Savior. It's tough. He's tough right here. He is straight as an arrow. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Oh, man. I don't even know how to answer that. I think that's very much rhetorical. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Sounds like Zedekiah, doesn't it? Watching his house burn to the ground because he wouldn't listen to what God said. Now I know doctrinally that is a warning to the house of Israel to receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah. But spiritually speaking, it is a warning to every believer to build their lives on this book. Build your business on this book. Build your little girl on this book. Build your family on this book. Build every decision, your granddaughter, your friends, build everything on this book. Let it be the foundation in every area, and your life will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You want to be ready? If I told you the judgment seat of Christ was coming tonight, you want to be ready for it? You know how you get yourself ready for it? You keep your ears and you keep your heart open and tender to God's words. That is going to do it, folks. There is no, well, how many tracts did I hand out? Make sure your heart has stayed tender and stays tender to what God says. And if there's stuff he's convicting you about right now, when I pray, bow your heart and say, Lord, make it right and go to heaven clean. Go to heaven with nothing between you and your God. No strife in your relationship at all. Listen, if I ask my children, and my children are awesome, they scrub this deck, they do all kinds of stuff, they hold siding for Brother Murphy over there, you know, along with his boys are awesome too, right? You know what? If I ask my kids to clean their rooms, and they jump up at my words, and they do their very best, will I judge them if they miss the spot? Of course not. I'm looking at their heart attitude towards my words. And if God tells you to do something, you may not do it perfect, but He's looking. Do you tremble at my words? Are you respecting my words? Are you taking heed to my words? God's looking at the heart attitude, brethren. What's your heart attitude to what He said? If you've humbled yourself to hear what God said, the Lord wants to give you a full reward. Amen? Amen. And if you're hard of hearing, brother, I'm going to tell you this. I fear the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a barn burning for you, brother. If you're hard of hearing, I think it's going to be a barn burning. You're going to watch some things not stand. Because in the same way I want my children to listen, the Lord wants His children to listen. And over again, Jesus would say things like this in Matthew 13:9. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. So is that who? You today. Are you willing to listen? 7 times in the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, which picture the church age, Jesus Christ says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is that us today? Is our little church, I don't care how big or how small we are, but if you listen to God, you are big to Him. That is huge to Him. No matter our numbers, our property, what's big to God is, are you willing to listen to what He says? That makes all the difference. And like Zedekiah, judgment is coming. You will make mistakes, but there is hope if you give God a hearing. If you keep your ears open and keep your heart from becoming hard of hearing. You know, before she went blind, Layla Morris wrote a hymn, What If It Were Today? And 4 times the Bible implores us, 4 times the Bible says, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. And the last verse of her song reads, faithful and true would He find us here, if He should come today. Watching in gladness and not in fear, if He should come today. Signs of His coming multiply. Morning light breaks in the eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? And if it were today, if He's spoken to you today, if it is today, harden not your hearts. If it's tomorrow, harden not your hearts. If it's 100 years from now, harden not your hearts. When God speaks, be ready and willing to listen. Amen? And you'll be okay when He comes if you've made that your heart's desire to be wanting to hear what He says. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for this time, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, that You would get the increase, get the glory, Father. Forgive me, Lord, for my own wicked heart, Lord. Forgive me where I strive with You, Father, where I resist Your Holy Spirit. Lord, give Your people, if You've spoken to us today, Lord, despite all that's going on around us, Lord, You had this ordained, Father, to speak to Your people and say, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Break up our fallow ground, Lord. Be glorified in all that's said and done. Keep us safe. Keep Your people safe. And dismiss us with Your blessing, for it's we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. You are dismissed, I guess. Bathroom. There's water. There's donuts. Are we off yet, Danielle? Is the message off?